This month, the government of Guatemala began a landmark trial. Several high-ranking military officers are accused of human rights abuses in Guatemala's long civil war. The war claimed the lives of 200,000 people, most of them killed by the Guatemalan army. The conflict grew out of attempts at land reform in the 1950s, which would lead to a coup backed by the CIA. When Daniel Wilkinson arrived in Guatemala in 1993, guerrillas were in their fourth decade of war with the army. But what interested Wilkinson was a story about a coffee plantation. It had been burned down in the early 80s by the guerrillas. Wilkinson interviewed dozens of people affected by Guatemala's cruel history, from Indians and workers to army officers and government officials. His book, Silence on the Mountain, traces that history through the eyes of those who worked on the plantations.
The plantations were really communities unto themselves, where you had plantation owners who owned not only the land that they were farming for coffee, but also the homes of their workers. The workers were living in a semi-feudal arrangement. So the plantation owner, known as the patron, basically controlled most of the economic aspects of their lives. They provided the food, the home, the church, the cemetery for their workers.
Weren't there various ways that the padrones had various laws that basically made the Indians who came down from the mountains to work on these plantations little more than indentured servants?
Basically, Guatemala had one major natural resource, which was very fertile land. But to make it work, they needed labor and cheap labor. And the way they got this labor was by the government would initially just round up workers from Mayan Indian communities in the highlands and force them to go work. Then little by little, they developed a system of basically debt peonage, where workers would become indebted to the plantations and be forced to work to pay off their debt, but they would never actually be able to pay it off when they tried.
Now, Daniel Wilkinson, as someone who comes along decades later investigating the past, what was the challenge for you in getting people to talk to you? I mean, clearly there had been a lot of oppression. There was a coup in Guatemala in 1954. These are people one might expect who were eager to tell their stories. In fact, you found, you call your book Silence on the Mountain, you found something very different than that.
Well, I showed up in this plantation hoping to collect stories about the war, and I found that no one wanted to talk to me about the war. And in fact, people said it hadn't affected the region. And I might have believed them if I hadn't known that this plantation house had been burned down. So I persisted, and it was just a very slow and difficult process of getting to know people, gaining their trust, working with local community leaders. The level of silence about the history was one of the most horrific aspects of what I encountered in Guatemala.
Why were people so frightened? There's a very moving story in here about a man who'd been the mayor of one town. You call it La Igualdad, means equality in Spanish. And he writes an entire history in which he leaves out the 1950s, the agrarian reform that triggered the revolt that led to the coup.
Well, this fear of speaking about things political was really the legacy of years of terror. We mentioned before that 200,000 people were killed in Guatemala. The vast majority of those were unarmed civilians killed by the government. They weren't guerrillas. The violence was aimed at generating a climate of fear. You know, Guatemala really gives you an example of what terror can do over a long period of time. In the case of Guatemala, in the 50s, there was a period of democratic reform that was brought to a halt by a coup in 1954. One way to see the violence, 36 years of violence, was aimed to stamp out the sense that was cultivated during these years of reform that people could actually change their world, could make these plantations a more humane place.
And of course, that coup was backed by the United States government.
Yes, this coup was organized and essentially carried out by the U.S. government. You have to understand that, you know, this was the height of the Cold War, and the U.S. government was seeing Latin America through the lens of democracy versus communism. Unfortunately, in the fight against communism, we seem to forget about the democracy part. And instead of promoting democracy in countries like Guatemala, we actively undermined it.
There's one story in here of all the many moving stories of your interaction with these people decades and years later, and that's when you take your motorcycle and ride up the mountain above the plantation, which originally drew your attention, to a place called Sakuchum, the top of the mountain. What happened in Sakuchum?
Well, let me first say that for quite a while, I'd heard people speak about Sakuchum, people in the coffee plantations. When I asked them about the war, they wouldn't talk about what happened locally, but they said something bad happened in Sakuchum, and that changed everything. The event was in 1982, when the army arrived one day, rounded up about 40 members of the community, took them out into the woods, and killed them. Killed them all without firing a single bullet. So they strangled them, they cut them up with machetes, they did just a series of really horrific things. What was interesting for me was the way the community told this story. It was this, just this outpouring of these horrible details. Mind you, almost 20 years had gone by, and they had never been able to denounce this killing to the outside world.
In fact, I think you write that you asked them, when have you told this story, and what was their answer?
Never. This silence, going for years without talking about the history, this was one of the most horrific things I found in Guatemala. If you think a little bit about what we've been through with September 11 here in New York and around the country, you know, what most of us experienced was this terrible combination of horror and anguish and rage and this fear. But one thing we didn't have was to face being quiet about it. We had vigils, we had rallies, we denounced the killing, we mourned the dead, we supported the bereaved. And by doing these things, we were able to overcome our fear. And we often said, you know, if we don't do all these things, then terror would have won. Well, imagine if we hadn't been able to do those things. Imagine never being able to talk about the horrific things that had happened. Imagine the families never being able to denounce the killing. Imagine walking past Ground Zero and pretending nothing had happened there and having your own government lie to the world about what had taken place. That's basically what happened in Guatemala. And in that sense, you could say that Guatemala is a place where terror did in fact win.
Daniel Wilkinson, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Daniel Wilkinson. His book is called Silence on the Mountain: Stories of Terror, Betrayal, and Forgetting in Guatemala.